views and opinions expressed in the following podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the DVM Production Empire. That's how you know it's good.
You're listening to the DVM Production Empire. Back with content, millions of downloads, taking the world by force. Join the Empire today at DVMPE.com.
Groovy.
Can't believe all the things that you say. Just what is wrong with you anyway? You're lucky if you have family or friends by the time that they get to the end, cause you're unfucking relatable. For that, there's no relief. Unfucking relatable. Beyond fucking belief.
Hello, my name is David, and I am unfucking relatable. And this is a series of not necessarily related stories about not being able to relate. Mired in the muck with me this week are Katie and Paul. Paul's here for his second bite of the rotten apple.
Thank you
for joining me.
Happy to.
You alright, Katie?
Yep.
Okay. You seem very nervous.
Katie doesn't quite understand what she's in for just yet.
I'm sorry ahead of time. The story really begins with, of all things, a phone message. But a little background first. I was 20 years old and managing a bookstore. I worked with a couple of teenage girls that were always trying to get something out of me. Sometimes my manager login, but mostly personal information. I've never really had an easy time talking about my personal life. It's not that I like to be viewed as some enigmatic loner, man crush on Heather's era Christian Slater notwithstanding. But I didn't think showing my soft underbelly to subordinates was a good idea. That my dating life was full of one-offs and blow-offs didn't exactly scream, "Wow, how interesting," either. I finally gave them this. The first day of senior year of high school, I sat behind this girl wearing a black crochet top over a sleeveless white shirt, like Madonna in the 80s, but not as slutty. Her long blonde hair cascaded over her chair and onto my desk. I hadn't even seen her face, but I knew it deep down even then. I was going to fall for this girl. Debbie, for our purposes. And fall I did. Hard. But nothing came of it in high school. I was too shy, and she was too pretty. We became close friends, but nothing more. I was peppered by the girls at work with some kind of wonderful John Hughes movie notions of high school romance, but I wasn't Ferris Bueller. I was an amalgamation of 80% of the Breakfast Club. Then again, even Ducky got to hook up with Christy Swanson, so losers can hope. A couple of weeks after telling the story to the ladies at the bookstore, I came home to find that I had a phone message with a number and the name Debbie. I thought for sure that this was work of one of the teenage clerks teasing me. I figured that she expected me to call up and be all, "Debbie, I knew that someday you'd realize what a great guy I was and want to be with me," and be greeted by squealy girl laughter. To hell with that. I was not about to give her the satisfaction. I wasn't even going to call the number at first. I figured that I'd just go into work the next day and say, "You thought you got me, didn't you? Well, get to work, you conniving slag." Probably not that specifically, but I wanted to just throw it in her face. I didn't want her to think that that she had even tricked me enough into calling the number. After an hour of mulling it over, I grabbed the phone and dialed. This was going to be good. A motherly voice answered the phone, and I got all smug. "Is Debbie there?" I don't know if that's how it sounded, now I think about it, but probably close. Everything changed in the next five words. "Yeah, let me get her." I felt my jaw hit the floor. This was not part of the plan. The jig was definitely up, but not the one I'd expected. For a brief moment, I considered hanging up the phone. Knowing what I know now, I kind of wish I would have. My life was forever altered the second a sound escaped my lips. This was really Debbie on the phone, a voice I had never expected to hear again. We talked about simple catching up type of stuff. Things were going great, that is, until she tells me she's engaged. The woman that answered the phone was her prospective mother-in-law as she was living with her fiancé. My heart sank so deep it retreated into my sack. Debbie asked if I wanted to come visit her that evening. Well, no, of course I don't want to visit you. Why would I want to visit you? Sure is what came out of my mouth, in spite of myself. She did sound genuinely excited to see me, and I had to admit the foolish romantic idea that I could steal her away was still a possibility in my mind, no matter how remote. I drove about 45 minutes out to her fiancé's parents' house, rang the doorbell, and it felt like invading enemy territory. The woman I spoke to on the phone answers the door. I tell her who I am, and she has this look. Not really directed at me so much, but a general distaste. She calls for Debbie, who comes bounding swiftly down the staircase. She doesn't really even make it off the stairs before she leaps into my arms, giving me as gigantic a hug as her tiny frame can muster. I'm taken aback and a little weirded out as the fiancé's mother is looking on from the hallway. I'm not even in the damn house and I feel like I've dropped napalm on the beaches of Normandy. I learned that Debbie had had a rough last couple of years. After high school, she fell hard into drugs and had gone to rehab. After a particularly nasty episode, she tells me that she heard my voice in her head to tell her that she needed to stop and that, essentially, I saved her life. How does one respond to something like that? You're welcome. I meet her fiancé, not really named Cletus, but Cletus for our purposes.
Classic.
Like myself and his mother, he is clearly thinking, what the fuck is this guy doing here? They're going to the gym, and Debbie says that I should go with. I accept the invitation, despite the growing tension in my stomach and aversion to working out. When she goes inside to change, Cletus informs me, I think it's time for you to go. I don't disagree. And I oblige. Debbie calls the next day and asks why I left. I point out the obvious peculiar feeling, but I had a nice time catching up. We stay in touch. A couple weeks later, she asked if I could come out and hang. I blew off work and drove out there, because, you know, I was 20 years old and don't give a shit. Yes, Paul?
I'm sorry, I just have a quick question. You described the moment that you saw her first in high school.
Yes.
And then, you know, you jump ahead to when she wants to catch up a few years later. Could you, like, briefly describe your relationship in high school? Like, how...
We're just friends.
Okay, so you just...
I mean, I had a thing for her, but, like, you know, it was just, an unrequited thing, and it was just kind of left at that.
So, you got along amicably while you always had a thing for her, and...
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Surprisingly, that I can relate to. So, yeah, sure.
Was she a golden retriever? Because she sounds a little bit like she might have been based on the greeting she gave you.
I had not considered that.
She's definitely not a Wheaton. Wheaton would have peed as soon as the door opened.
I hope not.
Great. Sorry, just cascading hair and then leapt into your arms after bounding down the stairs.
This is what we call, creative license.
Yeah. Okay.
But not really. I really, it's kind of that thing where you look back into your mind's eye and you're like, no, that's how it was.
She can be tiny.
You can pretend.
Bouncy. That's fine.
She was exactly that. Great. Tiny and bouncy.
But not a golden retriever.
You're talking again, Amanda.
I'm fucking relatable as a recorder for a live studio audience.
That can't hear you. Okay.
You blow a fork to go see her?
Yes. She comes running out of the house and down the street carrying a bag.
Huh.
I asked... Now, I mean, I don't know if I... Again, a few weeks have passed since this first meeting.
Sure.
This isn't like, ta-da.
Mm-hmm.
I asked her what this was all about, and I'm only getting vague and evasive responses. After driving around for a while, I turn back because I'm... Like, you need to deal with what's going on here.
As in bag, you mean like shopping bag or luggage?
I mean like duffel bag.
Oh, okay.
Like giant duffel bag.
Sure. Yeah, okay.
Filled with severed heads.
Yeah.
That would have been more comforting in the long run.
Eight of them in total.
Looking back, do you realize it may have been her bug out bag?
I'm getting to that.
Paul. Oh, sorry.
Looking back, no, looking... In the present, in that moment, I knew what it was.
Oh, boy.
I have severed heads in my bug-out bag as well.
What do you use to keep the odor away?
She clearly doesn't want to go back and deal with this, but she does, because she realized she left some stuff at the house. She goes in and a shouting match ensues.
Oh, boy.
I know this isn't my business, but I can't leave. I'm kind of a little, you know, concerned, obviously. Eventually, Cletus comes out of the house and is surprisingly calm and reasonable. The details escape me of our conversation, but he made it clear that he loved her and had no idea where this was coming from. In spite of my feelings, I found myself believing him.
Okay.
Eventually, Debbie comes out and sits in my car. I can't stay here, she says. After a while of talking in the car, I finally convince her to give him another chance. She exits without another word. I watch her enter the house, and I notice that my eyes are wet. I'm sorry, Katie. I know I did. My eyes were. You don't have to cry.
No, she's laughing, not crying, does
she? What did she forget at the house that was so important? Because I was trying to think. Maybe.
You know, that's a good question.
Nothing,
was it a golden
right?
retriever?
I think even my driver's license, I would just get a new. There would. It would. I don't.
That is a good question.
It would have. I cannot even imagine what would be so important that I would go back.
Is it
for.
Possible it was her drugs?
No. No. To my knowledge, after that point, she did not dabble.
Because what you're describing,
I'm aware.
Okay, just the context you gave it kind of sounds like.
Yeah. I'm giving you what I had.
All right, I'm just yeah. Okay,
this is exploratory.
Okay.
I suppose is the word. But you know, eventually she's back there.
Okay.
Know. It was weeks until I talked to her again. I was extremely worried because, you know, we had been talking fairly regularly before that. I became so preoccupied with her that I got 2 speeding tickets within 5 days of each other. I just wasn't even paying attention to what I was doing anymore. I would call and she'd hang up on me. That's it, I guess. A week or so after the last hang-up, she finally calls and gives me hell over going back to him, saying she hates me and she left because he beat her. Guilt washes over to the point that I'm drowning in it. I tell her how sorry I am and how could I have known and what can I do to make it up to her. Like a lot of things in that time, it's just kind of a blur, and eventually things just kind of were patched up. I guess I don't honestly have no idea how. But again, the next months were a whirlwind. Love professed. We bought a pet. Quickly, a life together being built. We fought a lot about both dumb and important things. Yes, Paul.
No. I'm sorry. I felt like you skipped ahead. Wait, what? What happened? Wait.
Yeah.
Honestly, some of these stories.
Hold on, pal. Rewind.
We want the "this is it" moment.
Yeah. What
it's
happened?
Happening.
It was a lot of little moments.
So you were talking, like, she eventually got nicer to you and stopped hanging up on you, and one thing led to another?
Yes.
And you realize, oh, we're nuts about each other, let's start a new life?
I mean, I was nuts. I mean, clearly.
Oh.
Damn it, Amanda, you're talking again. The people can't hear you.
No, I felt like I missed something.
Yeah,
and
you did. Oh, now we're together. We got a pet. She hung up on me.
Fuck?
We're in love.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Yeah, right?
It's very... Look. It was really just that kind of...
Were you guys like shopping for books one day and she looked at you and said... Dave?
No, I can't imagine that she was ever shopping for books.
Things are great. What did you guys do? You're sharing a malt at a 1950s style soda shop.
Yeah.
And she's like, this is fun. You're like, this is fun. You should do this more often.
No,
you leaned in and kissed.
It was just kind of like...
And the rain stopped outside and the sunbeams came through.
And you went outside all shirtless, like, you know, Tim Robbins and Shawshank, and just looked into the sky.
And then just threw a tennis ball and she bounded after it.
Because she's a golden retriever.
Yep, all those things.
You know, thank you. Filled in the holes.
You know what? To ask a serious question.
No, I understand. It's just, honestly, and I guess I think these were all in the original story, but I was like, it was very long.
I cut? The part where we got together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, here, understand this. This is merely the first in a trilogy.
All right.
Uh-huh.
So some certain specifics
will
be made known later in later episodes.
Okay, before we continue, I got to ask a serious question to anybody, to the live studio audience, including who's listening.
Oh, this is my favorite episode so far.
Oh, a serious question.
Is that because I'm being made fun of the most in this one?
Yes.
I'm not making fun of you just yet. I got to ask dead serious, from the descriptions that David here has given, is anyone else getting, like, emotionally manipulative feeling vibes off of her? Off of his description?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, if you know the rest of the story, then it doesn't...
That is exactly the type of woman that Dave falls for. I've met others, and yes.
Okay, so the other two are getting the thing. Katie, are you getting...
I feel like I don't know enough of the story. I feel like...
That's why I'm asking!
Cascading hair, but I don't know, like, what the conversation
I was just asking if the other two were getting that vibe!
Can I also just mention, this was 19 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a long time.
So there were less emotionally manipulative people around then? What?
I'm assuming...
People are always dumb when they're 19.
No. I understand that. This is no way in a knock against him. I was just asking if anyone else is getting that vibe off the description he's given so far.
I've answered this, I think, in other episodes. Accurate.
I'm not...
Okay. No, and look.
I'm not ragging on you for this. I promise you I'm not.
But you're not wrong either.
Okay. That's all. I was just asking if anyone else
is
getting that vibe,
like,
man.
It's a lot of... more details are going to be in later episodes. Understand this is the new paradigm we're dealing with,
right.
I guess.
Okay. Okay. But anyway, okay. We have a life together. We have a pet. What pet did you get? Final question. Then I'll be so quiet.
No, that's fine. Right? That's a good question. Despite the... this is how screwed up I was.
Oh, no.
I'm allergic to cats.
Oh, no.
We got a cat.
Wow, you guys went big pet, too. We got a turtle. You didn't start small. You went in.
And a cat that...
something that's going to live 15, 16 years.
A cat that ended
you
up...
can't tolerate.
Well, to be fair, I don't know what ended up happening to the cat.
Oh, God.
After this story, I was... The cat had cancer, apparently. We got it at a shitty... PetMart or whatever it is.
Okay.
PetMarts are notorious for selling cats with cancer. Everyone knows this. You want a cancer-ridden cat, that's where you go.
He says apparently, as in he doesn't know what happened to the cat. For all we know, he just got left out in the middle of the road in
DeKalb.
That's
actually what I imagined.
Really? Okay.
I couldn't take the fucking thing.
No, that's true.
Did you, like, take shots, or did you just take, like, a legger every day?
No. Just tolerated it. Yeah. Gave it a bath once. Rubbed my eyes in the middle of it because I was sweating.
Oh, no. God.
And I was being scratched to shit. And, you would have thought I was possessed because my eyes are just...
Trying to give a cat a bath is like trying to fix a blender while it's on.
Yeah. It was a pretty...
But the cat detail, thank you. That says a lot. That really puts in perspective how much you liked this or loved this woman that you would put... You know,
that's true.
Do all that, and how little she cared about you, and that she would be okay with it. I mean,
funny
to
thing
be
about
fair,
it, when we picked out the cat, she's like that one. And I'm like, oh, okay, it wouldn't come to her, it would come to me.
Did she know you were allergic?
Yes.
I'm just checking.
But I wasn't okay.
No, I was just checking.
I wasn't the one keeping it at my home, right? Okay?
So she wasn't living with you yet?
No. Okay. We never actually lived together.
Okay, so where was she living at this time?
She was living at a friend of hers place.
Okay.
Who apparently was not as allergic to cats.
Mm-hmm. But still sort of allergic to cats?
I don't...
I'm sorry, she's not as... So
no,
like...
No, that's...
All right.
Just a turn of phrase.
Okay, just checking.
Okay. We did fight a lot about both dumb and important things. It was also around this time that I found out that I had hypertension. I was so stressed out all the time that I lived off of mostly Maalox and cigarettes. That is when I wasn't drinking myself into oblivion. Toward the end, and again, you like how these time jumps, but I'm not going to give you detail about, like, the deterioration.
Okay.
It's just, it's like everything. It's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or, you know, you just kind of, you feel it coming. You want detail, we're going to get to detail about other shit. Or, she wanted to go back to school. It was 2 hours away, and that's an eternity after being only, you know, 5 minutes apart, essentially. She asked if I wanted to go live with her on campus, and I told her that I had my job and I couldn't leave. The fucking idiotic reason, I realized, being as it was a job that I once just called off of so I could suntan.
This is the bookstore job?
Yes.
Still? Okay.
Because even though I'm a manager, I still don't really care, and I'm still only 20 years old.
Gotta catch those rays.
Right, man. Glory days. Gotta look. That being said, I don't believe that she ever had any intention of going away with me. Someone else was already in the picture, only I didn't know it yet.
Hmm.
I felt her slipping away, and the only thing I could think of to do was to propose to her.
Sure.
At the end of my driveway.
Romantic.
I got down on one knee, on concrete, in jorts.
Okay.
With a shitty ring I bought at a pawn shop.
You are just all class, Musto.
What are jorts? Jogging shorts?
No.
Jean shorts.
Jean shorts. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Because
cool
that was...
John Cena.
Cool.
Jean shorts were my, you know, late teens, early 20s uniform.
Okay.
If I could get away with that now... Actually, no. I would prefer sweatpants now.
Okay.
I'd go back to when I was like 14, when I would wear sweatpants all the time.
Okay, now that we've covered that.
Well, you asked what jorts were, and I felt like that needed an explanation.
No, it's good to know. Now, if you're going to propose in the near future, it'll be in sweatpants.
We got more detail on the jorts
absolutely.
Than we did how the relationship started.
You know what? Then I know.
Then you know. If she's like, yeah, she's in sweatpants too, she's like, let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, I'll watch Matlock on the couch. She didn't answer right away. She needed to think. I understood how she might be gun-shy, but part of me thought it was just a formality. She'd already given me Cletus' ring.
Wait, what?
Yeah. She was engaged to him.
Yeah?
She gave me his ring.
His wedding band that he was going to...
No, his engagement ring.
She gave it to you?
Yes.
Why?
I don't know, but we probably should have taken that as a sign.
A fucking trophy?
No, that's where the eight heads in the duffel bag come in.
Okay, continue.
He pawned it to buy jorts.
Honestly, I did try to pawn it years later. Worth nothing.
Oh.
It wasn't worth the trip to me going down there. It was an ugly fucking thing. After a healthy amount of badgering, she accepted... I was elated. We made plans. You know, I decided that I'd go to, I would relent and go find a job near where school was.
Okay.
Before I had the chance, her phone went out of service. What I knew then was what I chose not to believe before. She was truly gone now. I didn't see her again for 2 more years. A story for another time.
So she just up and vanished?
Basically.
Okay.
That original ghosting, Paul.
Yeah.
I remember asking her once what she expected when she called me out of the blue that day. I thought you were going to say, fuck off, bitch. I don't buy that. I think she counted on me going out there that day. It would have saved me a lot of trouble if I had told her to fuck off. I could have never even called her back in the first place. Maybe there was some other poor schmuck next in line. I was just the first fish to bite. Maybe she never forgave me for leaving her with Cletus. Maybe she never loved me at all. She got to move on, live happily ever after, and still does, I would imagine. And pretend I never happened. I'm just someone she stepped on along the way. The sad fact is that I believe that these were all times I could have, or that there were all these times I could have ended things, but I didn't. The truth is that the choice was never mine.
This whole episode has been class.
Can I just interject really quick?
Thank you.
Dave.
I can't believe I'm actually thanking you for this.
So she accepted your proposal and then ghosted you. And you, out of the kindness of your heart, have decided to give her a pseudonym on this show instead of saying her actual damn name. Even though that's some cold shit.
Well, Nick, there are these things called lawyers. This is a purging. This is just the first part of me getting this out of my head and out of my soul forever, mm-hmm. if you believe in that sort of a thing. I don't really, but, you know, it's figuratively. Is it worth any more of my trouble to have to deal with the repercussions of saying her name for real?
Well, it's not slander. So.
It's not?
No, you're telling an honest story.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I appreciate the fact that you're doing that, but as one of the producers on this show, but at the same time, I feel like if I were the one telling the story, I probably would have used a real name.
Yep.
I agree with Dave. I would not.
Thank you.
But there's no point anymore. Like, let it go.
Right.
Like, it's not going to change anything. Like, yeah.
It
gives her power.
I'm actually surprised at you for being so spiteful about it.
It's not spite. It's the fact that I wouldn't take the time to come up with a suit.
Take the time?
It's not taking the... I think what Nick is trying to say is he wouldn't pay her the courtesy.
Yes. That's
fine.
That's
fine. I mean, I don't...
I wouldn't use her last name or anything, but I would totally use her first name.
Well, we're going to get a trail of breadcrumbs to her real first name.
As our producer Nick says that, I do remember when we started this story, and as soon as Dave said the name Debbie, Nick's eyes lit up with recognition. Continue, Dave.
The truth is that the choice was never mine. The figurative heart wants what it wants, and that makes it an unreliable organ. Knowing the cause of my social degradation doesn't lead to some epiphany. It just reinforces my belief that my heart can't be trusted. The little piece of shit.
Well, you know, you built this story up as being, like, very depressing and very sad, and I'd be disappointed in you and lose respect to you and all that shit. No, I'm upset at her, but at the same time, I really don't think you have a whole lot to beat yourself up about with this story, because you were young, and while that's a typical excuse, young and dumb, the simple fact is, you did not have the previous experience of dealing with somebody who was emotionally manipulative in her way. You weren't able to really consciously recognize it and act on it.
You haven't met my mother.
All right, then. Perhaps from that type of relationship, then. Or is it also, I still haven't met your mother?
No,
what?
No.
Okay.
No, you're right.
But no, I mean, there's a reason why I asked that question early on, because both Nick and Al listening in jumped in like, oh yeah, because we are old enough that we've had to deal with that shit once or twice.
I think everyone has dealt with that shit once or twice. Like, even
but,
you know this person, you can't quite trust them.
To this level, though? To the length.
For me? Oh my god, yes.
Oh my god, okay. Stick around for episode 9 at some point. You'll see the length. There are more lengths yet to go.
She got more out of you?
More out of? How do you mean? Another chipping away? It's
as
more,
in
it's
she...
More, it's an extra detail that, like, that lead up to basically... Like, there are two more episodes about this that will sort of... One's more of a joke.
Okay.
But it did happen. And the other is definitely more along these lines of, like, holy shit, look at how...
No,
look at how far you went for this.
No,
and I mean far distance wise.
He took her to the vet.
Well, she does sound like she needs to be put down. So. But no, I meant more like after these 2 years of ghosting shit, like she kept stringing you along after that. Or
yeah, I don't know if I should tell this now. I don't know if
I'm not trying to ruin any future story, but
no, I mean. I want to say that I was going to tell this in a... I don't know if I ever was. There was another... How do I, there's another sort of, well, the thing about the last day I ever saw her. And
is that a separate story, or is that just something you don't want to tell?
Look, these stories are things I, almost all things I don't really want to tell. It's the whole point of the show, I think, is I'd like to think that me putting these things forth will, you know, help somebody.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, which I'm sure it won't. I mean, when I was that young, I also fell for the line of, like, oh, no, like, he's not my boyfriend, we're just roommates.
Wait for episode 9.
Are we relatable, Dave? Are we relatable?
Paul, now I know where your anger comes from.
It comes from so many places.
It comes from maybe not the exact same place as mine.
Also, I fell for that line twice in a row.
Okay.
In a row.
In a row?
Yeah, one immediately after the other.
Like, in a line?
Yeah, like it from two separate...
Well, did you for real, or was it what you kind of wanted to believe, right?
Well, that's a lot of it.
Sometimes
that's definitely,
I know what's going on, but I don't want to know what's going on.
So no, that, really it's a willful ignorance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like you mentioned about trust. There was always that little feeling in the back of my head nagging, and in my gut, because there's no reason my grandfather had this, he had a medical issue. He used to go to a veterans hospital. For some reason, they would just give him like a crate of Maalox that he never used for anything.
I don't know what that is.
Maalox is a, it's for like a upset stomach, like antacid.
Okay, antacid. All right.
And I felt, I thought I had an ulcer during like this whole time. So I was just, mind you, I was smoking a lot because I had quit.
Yeah.
But she didn't like smoking alone.
Yeah, that's awful. You didn't take obviously you smoked, that's all horrible, but you didn't take enough of this, whatever, Malinox to harm yourself, did you?
Do you not know Maalox?
No, Maalox. I genuinely don't know what the hell it is.
I think Maalox and cigarettes, though, is a great name for an improv team, though, for real.
Or a rock band.
Maalox and cigarettes. Yes.
Hey, maybe that's the name of the band that does this little theme song for the show.
Mm.
I hadn't really thought of that. Tried to name them something else, but somebody took it. I'm not going to give them the fucking satisfaction of me saying their name now. There, see?
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There. That's something we can take from this, too.
What's that?
Is that not giving her a real name? She has no more power over me.
That's what I said.
It's entirely possible. She's not Voldemort. I mean,
I'm not sure about that. I worked in bookstores. This is like when Harry Potter was coming out, for Christ's sake. Like the third one, I think. And I've never read more than 3 pages of one. I know. Who cares?
I haven't either. It's on my list.
Me neither. Me neither.
Okay.
We're good.
So you watched the movies then?
I watched a few of them.
Okay. I watched about 15 minutes of one. I'm like, Alan Rickman hasn't shown up. Fuck this movie.
Oh, and he's not the bad guy. Fuck this movie doubly.
Yeah, I think we can safely say that, I guess I don't have this story in another episode, so I guess I can just throw a couple of things out there.
Okay.
Seeing her again was the worst day of my life.
Now, this was after she ghosted you for two years, right? Okay. Now, what does she do? Does she call you up? You call her up?
No. No.
Oh, no, you just bumped into her?
No.
Oh. There's another option. I'm interested.
There's a third option.
It's usually called stalking.
It's a little stalky.
On whose part, Dave?
I had switched jobs, and my new job was at a Target.
Okay.
And her parents' house was kind of on my way home.
All right, I think
I
just
pass by there all the time. All
right, my question's been answered. Go ahead.
There was one day she was there.
Okay.
I went home afterward to get the ring out of a drawer because I damn sure didn't want it.
Okay.
I held on to that thing for 2 years.
So at this point, you are in possession of two separate engagement rings?
No, I'm in possession of one.
So you gave his back to her when you proposed, right?
Wait, sorry, what?
Because I meant two, because you said that she gave you his.
Correct.
And so then when you proposed to her, was it with a new ring?
Yeah.
And she ran off with that one, so...
Which was returned to me upon this day.
Okay, so you previously had her previous fiance's engagement ring. That's correct. What you took out of the drawer.
Correct.
Okay, just specifying which one.
Huh?
My brain hurts.
I know.
There's so many questions about that.
We need a flowchart for the engagement ring movement. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
That's a weird thing. I'd be like, this was my old engagement ring. Oh. I want you to have, unless like Paul said, it is like a trophy.
Are you going
to
use it?
You won me.
You use it for like a fucking incantation or something?
Swallow it and poop it out to prove
you know
I'm yours.
I actually thought, in high school, I did lend her a copy of, what was the book?
Catcher in the Rye.
No.
Hellraiser. Like drawing on chalk in the driveway, a circle,
no,
like
close.
Salt, putting the engagement ring in the center. Come to me, all you love.
No, it was a book. I think it was the Necronomicon. And I was convinced for a while that she was doing spells on me.
Okay.
I don't know why. I had weird theories about stuff with that. Like... That summer, I was waking up with, like, weird puncture marks in my arms.
What?
Now, that's
a frail in my arm and spiders came out of it.
Like, no, there was nothing in my arm. There was just the marks.
Now, that's a phrase I didn't think I was going to hear today. I woke up with strange puncture marks in my arm.
Yeah, and they were different ones, like, all the time.
Like, different diameter, or?
No, like, just in different spots.
But, like, what? Still, like, where? She was sucking your blood.
No, Nick, I mean more like needle marks.
Oh, like she was injecting you with heroin while you were asleep.
Correct. I actually coined the term smack fairy.
Now, before we continue, for the record, have you ever engaged in any needle?
Other than blood work, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't call that recreational.
Some would.
I mean, I did once have a fascination of watching that happen, but that's not really like...
You said you were drinking at this time. Did you ever get blackout drunk during this time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't remember that being... I don't remember the two things... Well, I guess I wouldn't. Whatever.
All right, let's get to where you got
that
the
was
ring
where
back.
I was getting. That they
back
could,
on track.
Yeah, sorry.
So you drove by. Was she outside?
She was outside.
That makes me feel very relieved.
No.
I pressed my face against the window and she walked by and then came outside.
No.
Did you not stop? Was it drive-by ringing or what?
No. I went home to get the ring, and I came back. And I'm like, and
Sorry, she's outside.
She's outside.
You get the ring.
You stop the car. You yell,
I actually parked down the street because I...
He didn't
actually,
want them to see him coming.
Actually, a friend of mine came and picked me up because I was shaking.
Okay.
I was angry.
Yeah.
So you saw her, got angry, drove down the street, parked,
called a
friend.
No. I'm sorry. I skipped the thing. I went home. A friend came and picked me up.
Okay.
And
okay.
Because I did not want to drive.
Okay.
And you're 22, 23 at the time?
I would be 22.
Okay.
Did you speak to her at all the first drive-by or no?
Bitch! No. No.
Bitch, I'll be back with your ring.
Your first ring.
This hideous ass fucking thing. No.
Bitch is running around starting up franchises, leaving trails of rings everywhere.
Did she see you?
I don't think so.
Okay, alright.
That would have been weird.
So, because it's not weird before. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So, you know, I'm all piss and vinegar thinking that, like, wow, this finally get to fucking tell her off. And then she pulls out a shield.
What?
Like Captain
An
America?
Infant.
Yeah, like...
No, like her...
Link?
Like her one-year-old daughter.
Knew it! Boom! Called it!
Now, David, did you have any reason to think that...
Nah, it timeline
like
didn't,
timeline, yeah,
timeline didn't work.
Does not
okay.
match up.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
No. Not that. No. It, yeah, it just didn't make sense. I tried.
Okay.
But you know what? You know what, though? Thankfully,
period.
No.
Okay.
You know what? Because that's just a fucking another tie. That would just be a thing that...
Right.
So.
Yeah. I didn't get that.
I don't even think it was. I don't even think a year. I mean,
it's less than a year old.
Yeah, it's
okay. Could have been older. They're hard to determine when they're that size. I don't know.
It's math.
Okay,
it's not that hard.
Also, paternity tests are a thing,
which I wasn't going to pursue. Whatever,
she grabs her tiny daughter and holds
like
it out
this,
in front
like,
of you.
You drive, not like
you
ah.
Drive back. Yeah, you drive back, no. Or your friend drives you back,
and like basically, like I'm. Thinking I'm no. I mean, like he parked down the street
because I want, crawled up the street.
No, and then I just kind of walked because I'm angry and I want to work. I want to try and think of what I'm going to say.
You just wait in the car.
Yeah.
All
right. It's not about intimidating.
No, I just wouldn't know what to do as the friend. Like I would want to go and support you, but if it's weird if I'm there, just standing behind you going yeah, but it's weird if I sit in the car, too, so I might have been like...
Oh, shit, that would have been so cool, though.
Telling off the kid, too. Yeah, you're hearing this about your mom? She's a bitch!
Yeah. That could have been fun. No.
So you walk up there all pissing vinegar.
Yet another missed opportunity.
Yeah.
That should be really the name of this show, shouldn't it? Yet another missed opportunity.
Season 2.
I was thinking that was going to be reparations.
Sorry.
I don't know. So yeah, walking up there, thinking what I'm gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
Already, like, got the fucking ring out, and I'm like, no, you're gonna toss it at her. I don't know what the hell's gonna happen. She's fidgeting in the back seat of the car, and that's when I'm like, oh, there's the baby seat,
mm-hmm.
And I can't even really, I don't really even quite. Form a real. It's just kind of like, it's really just hey, you know, and to think that you wouldn't have known that she was surprised.
That was going to be my next question. What was her reaction? But it sounds she was just like, "What's
oh,
up?"
Hey. Yeah, it's literally no sold the whole thing. I'm like, not right away. I'm disarmed. I'm like. I want there to be a reaction.
Right.
Like I'm the ghost of whatever past. And
that would be Christmas.
No, not
Ghost of
case.
Rebound past.
Definitely
passed.
Not Christmas. Unless you hate Christmas.
The ghost of girlfriend's past?
Oh no. Sure. That doesn't make sense either.
Anyways.
Anyhow.
She said, woof, woof. And you said, it's been a while.
Actually, I think she said it's been a while. And I'm all ready to be like, what the fuck? And the kid's out. You want to hold her? Oh, fuck you, is what I'm thinking. And I still, this time I don't say sure.
Did you congratulate her on her little boat anchor?
No. I know it may seem like.
I like how Kay laughed at that. She got that. Yeah.
I know how it might seem like I was just like, yeah, whatever, everything, you know, agreeable. But no, this was. All wind is out of my sails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I can't even properly confront her at this point. And it's just kind of like, oh, here's your fucking ring, I guess. Can't even pick that up on the mic, probably. Yeah, here's your fucking ring.
Mm-hmm.
Not even fucking. I was just like, I got nothing. I've been neutered in that moment.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was already a demoralizing day. Because I had to go to the hospital right after. And my grandmother was, ill. And as soon as, like, my friend drove me to the hospital afterwards, and I, I don't think I spoke the rest of the day, really, much of any, except for at my grandmother's hospital room. I kind of found out that she had terminal throat cancer, esophageal cancer. And I just remember not saying anything after that the rest of the day. And I did. I got blackout drunk again for the first time in a little while.
I don't think I could blame you for either of those
things. And, yeah, that's pretty much the end of that story. I think that's the last time I saw her. Spoke to her again one other time. It was nothing. Morbid curiosity on my part, I guess, but by then it was like pointless.
I don't think you were neutered that day. You should beat yourself up for it. I mean, there was no point in yelling at her. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I might have, you probably would have felt good at the time, but then afterwards probably felt bad because either A, it didn't have an effect on her, B, you hurt her feelings, and you probably, I mean, yeah, you probably want to, but you don't, right? She's someone you cared for. And it's not going to change anything.
Oh, no, I really wanted to hurt her feelings.
All right. All
right. I won't. Yeah, absolutely. And it just backfired.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider murdering her in front of her daughter and then telling her daughter that when she grows up, she can get her revenge?
I totally thought when he's like, she had a one-year-old, I was like, oh, it's like Kill Bill 2. It's just like when she saw her daughter was still alive.
No.
Well, there goes that script idea.
However, I will, if you're going to talk murderous rage.
I was not.
Honestly, there's so much to this that I can't even.
Would you say she's the one who's given you the most grief in your life?
I guess, how do you, for the amount of time that we spent together, yes.
Okay.
Like, most everything. Good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just, there was never complacence. There wasn't time. It was always extreme everything. And it was not sustainable.
Yeah.
It was just eventually there was going to be a burnout, and, you know, I probably reached it before I thought I did, but I just, you get a, just, she was the first woman I was ever in love with, and the only one I was ever felt that strongly about.
Mm-hmm.
And you get the feeling, is it ever going to be like this? Or am I ever going to feel like this again?
Yeah.
And you just grab onto whatever you can hold on to. And I should have known essentially before she actually ghosted, she was always a ghost.
Mm-hmm.
She was never meant for me to hold on to.
Are you happy you had any relationship with her at all? Or if you could go back and do it again, would you do or no, would you not? Would you, eternal sunshine of the spotless mind?
That's a good... No, I thought about that one. Right. And honestly, when I watched that movie, of course that's what I thought of. I mean, it's not like you can just get rid of some things, you know? You'd like to think it's a learning experience?
Yeah, I mean.
You'd like to think it was a learning experience? Wouldn't have the story, I guess.
Do you honestly think you said that sarcastically. I mean, do you honestly think you haven't learned from this?
No.
No.
He said gravely.
Yeah. With no hesitation. There was no, like, no, well, okay, no,
yeah,
no, I haven't learned anything.
I'm trying to I try to be as honest on here as I can, and I think I don't think I have the constitution for it anymore.
Okay.
I think if I wait, ask me that again. If I've learned from this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't think I would have, I'd be able to stomach it again. I think if I, it would never have gotten to that point. If it's me now, there are a number of times when I actually did just say, fuck you, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. Believe, like there were. I once broke up with her fucking voicemail.
But I mean, if,
and then she called up, well, actually her friend called up crying in the background. Jesus. Or she's crying in the background.
I mean, all joking aside, you say like, oh, it's not a learning experience. But then at the same time, you say that like, oh, if this were to happen today, it wouldn't have gotten that far. Then it's a learning experience.
It's different though, because I was younger and more resilient then. Seemingly. I don't think.
What I'm saying is, I think, don't you think nowadays, if something like this were to happen again, that this time you would be able to spot the signs of, say, somebody who was emotionally manipulative?
I think I would just, I'm not sure that that's how it would play. I think I would just, I'd just look at it and be like, not worth the hassle.
Well, that's,
I guess if that's what you call learning. I mean, I think of it as just more like, like I'm just, yeah, I'm beaten up. I'm beaten down now.
You're the Borg. You've adapted to this shot. It's going to take something completely different to get you this time.
Yes. No. But, no. But, you know, whatever. It is what it is. That was, that's the origin story, folks. That is the, even though it's not the oldest story in this, podcast, it's definitely the one that I point to and say, yeah, this is kind of where it all went off the rails.
I mean, I joked around with you last time I did this, but I mean, I can't. No, just,
you
I
can again. That's
no,
funny,
I do. I mean, but I mean, I can't give you a lot of shit for this one. I really can't, because it's just.
Can you
try? I mean, you were young, and I think everyone's had that kind of manipulative shit relationship, regardless of to what extreme it goes to. So, yeah, this isn't, you know, like last time where you passed up 9 times to get laid by some woman, and like everyone was trying to help you along the way or
no
some shit.
No one helped me.
Yeah, Hector was desperately trying. He did everything but put a sign around your neck, really. If you go back and listen to episode 1, folks. But this is just.
Can I get a sign?
Go ahead.
What did it say? Just help.
We talked about this last time. Like, hey, it's my friend. He's kind of clueless.
No,
I think he likes you.
Yeah, that was the cards.
Oh,
yeah, right. Lindsay thought
the sign should just say, "I don't know you're trying to sleep with me." That's all it needs to say.
Can we just get him a shirt like that?
Probably. Mm-hmm. It should just say "unfucking relatable" on it,
or just "unfucking."
I have that shirt. I had it made.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I can't give you too much shit for this. It's just, yeah, I think it's an ugly experience that we've all gone through on one degree or another.
Yes, I feel like everyone has person that you know that. Even when you know they're fucking with you, either emotionally or whatever,
right.
you suspect it, but you don't listen, or you don't care.
Like, oh, because it feels good right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even
yeah.
though there's
yeah,
that nagging
not,
feeling in the back of my fucking
of
head.
Things.
And you like that person so much, you'll take what you can get. Mm. You'll take it. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Yeah. A feast on scraps.
Right. Mine was with a French bulldog and not a golden retriever, but totally the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Name Matilda?
They're tricky.
You know her?
Frenchies are all sweeties, so I don't know what the hell you went through. You were the asshole in that story, Nick.
That's probably fair.
He's the asshole in every story.
Probably cheated on her with a corgi, you
he's
bastard.
He's the asshole in this story. He's not even in it.
He's been in it enough to be in it.
That's true. You are altering your job description for this episode.
it wasn't really an extreme or a highly unusual story. As a matter of fact, I think this story absolutely flies in the face of this show's name. It's not unfucking relatable. I think it's very relatable to a lot of people.
This was not really meant to set me apart from people. This is to show you kind of how I got to be this way.
Where you came from.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Well, who I am, how I came to be. An origin story. It's an origin story. That's why I said. And it's just the first in a trilogy. I mean, there are 10 episodes of this show, but, or there will be. Spoiler.
Yeah.
I guess. But, yeah, this is the one that, I definitely didn't know what to expect from the panelists. I knew it was going to be a tough one to get through.
I'm sorry, I know you were really counting me just chewing into you.
Honestly, well, it needed the humor, and thankfully, look, if nothing else, we got a lot of dog jokes in there.
Yeah.
So that's good.
There's a lot of hurt golden retrievers out there right now, Katie.
Good.
To be fair, they're a pain in the ass to brush.
But not as probably as big a pain in the ass to bathe as a cat.
No.
So
poor idea.
Thank you, Katie. Thank you, Paul, once again.
Yeah, you're
thank you for your vague honesty.
Yeah.
Vague?
Yeah.
You did leave some things out.
There's more to come, folks. After all, this is my life, and you're all just laughing at it.
Memoriam Development.
Got an idea for a podcast but don't know where to start? You're not alone. There are literally thousands of people out there with great podcast ideas for either their businesses or simply for entertainment, but they don't know the first thing about podcasting. The DBM Production Empire has been successfully producing high-quality podcasts since 2009 and has received millions of downloads. Yes, millions. And now the DBMPE has decided to pull back the curtain and offer their podcast production services to the rest of the world. Unlike some other podcast companies, our team will work with you from the creation of your podcast idea all the way to getting it released to the marketplace. We work with you in three different phases. The development phase, which includes getting your ideas to a workable action plan, the creation of your RSS feed, and if you don't have your own artwork already, we can help you with that too. Next is the hosting phase, which includes a safe place to launch and house your podcast episodes. And of course, the distribution phase, where we deliver your content to major podcast markets like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Player FM, Podomatic, and many more. We'll do all of this for just $10 a month plus a one-time setup fee. So what are you waiting for? Call or email us for a free consultation today.